Well, hey, good morning. We're so glad you guys are here with us this day. We hope you had a good week. We had a busy week from the inauguration. And then how about Monday night and the Buckeyes? All right. First service, let me just say they were way more excited about that than you guys were. That was a great way to kind of keep going with the week. And then yesterday, I got to tell you this little weird story that happened to Rachel and I yesterday. We took the kids up to Sandusky and we went by the building and but we went to Chick-fil-A because it is the Lord's house, and so we went up there and we hung out there. We were in a little a bench seating, and we're sitting there eating, and I got done. Rachel got done with her food, and then the kids are still eating, and so we're just sitting there. And out of nowhere comes this flying object, and it just smacks me right in the head. And I then react, and I take my hand and I go like this, and I realize this red is covering my hand. What happened was there was a high top table across from us, and it had a bunch of high school girls at it, and they were trying to open up their ketchup, and somehow it flew across Rachel. It was like Rachel and then Will and Jada, and somehow it misses her. It goes over her, smacks me in the forehead, hits Will in the back of the head. It was insane. I've never seen anything like it, but that's what happened to me yesterday. But hey, we're having a good morning this morning. We're glad you guys are here. We're going to continue on in our series going through Unforgettable, these truths that we need to remember. So we're going through verses that are found in God's Word. And we could continue this series forever and ever and ever because all Scripture, we understand that. All Scripture is inspired by God and useful for us and able to teach us what God is ultimately wanting us to know through His Word, but we're only picking up a few. And so as I started thinking through what is a great verse that I feel like we need to remember this morning, and as I thought about that, one verse that I love going to and pointing people to and teaching from is out of Genesis 1, because in Genesis 1, what we see is creation. And when we see when we get created, people, looking at Adam and Eve and them being created, we get to see the purpose behind why we exist and why, what is our purpose and meaning in life. So why we have breath in our lungs today. And it's found in Genesis 1, 27. So it says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created men. Male and female, He created them. And so it is a powerful verse that says, hey, God created you with this incredible purpose of creating you in His image. And that phrase unpacks, when we unpack it, is powerful, and it can shape and mold us to really who God's calling us to be. And it's because what it means to be made in the image of God means that you are more unique and you are more special than anything else on this earth that God has created. Nothing else that God has created on this earth has been given the title image bearer or image of God, the way you and I have been given that title. So there's responsibility because of that. But think about this, and this is good for us to think through. Like, when our life ends on this earth, we don't become angels, right? And so we don't become angels. Angels are created beings, created with a purpose that God has created them for, but they aren't given the title image bearer. You and I are given the title image bearer, made in the image of God. And our purpose is so unique because we are created with a physical body, but also an immaterial soul. And so there's some implications, three implications that we're going to look at this morning about being made in the image of God. The first one is in the context around verse 27. It says this in verse 26. Then God said, let us, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness. So right away, we understand being created in the image of God doesn't mean we become God or we are God or we are created in the likeness of God. So what that means is we're created to reflect what God is like in the world. Okay? Here's the implication of that. It keeps going. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them, here it is, let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps the earth. What are you called to do as an image bearer? To rule over creation. It keeps going in verse 28. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. As an image bearer, created in the image of God, it means that you are created to rule. In what way? You should be fruitful, multiply. In the way we reflect God, God is He is creator God. And so as reflections of Him, we are called to be fruitful, multiply, create. We're also called to fill the earth. We're called to subdue it. We're called to rule over it. As we think about the responsibility, really it's saying we're caretakers of the world that God's given us. It's a blessing. We get to have this and enjoy this. Great news, but hey, you have a responsibility to take care of it, what God has created. Our responsibility is act the way that God would. So does God misuse creation? No. Is God unwise in His management? No. Is God ever cruel or is He selfish or wasteful? No. So we shouldn't be either when it comes to creation. It's not us trying to manipulate. It's us understanding God has designed the world and you and I with a unique purpose. Unlike anything else He's created, you are given the title image of God. And so, hey, as that, there's a responsibility that comes on us not to misuse or mistreat what God has created. And when we do, it's a result of sin, not a result of the original command here in Genesis 1. But because we're created to rule, it just means this, that we are created as unique and different. We're created different mentally. We're created different morally. We're created different socially. Mentally, we're created different because we're rational, whereas animals are not rational. They can't reason and choose. They just react on instincts. You're created different. It's purposeful in that way. Mentally. So every time you use your intellect and you choose and you reason, anytime someone invents something or writes a book or paints a landscape or enjoys music, solves a math problem, names a pet, what you're doing is you're proclaiming that we are made in the image of God. Morally, because God is holy, He is set apart, we are called to reflect what God is like into this world. And so every time someone writes a law, or every time someone holds back from evil, or every time someone praises good behavior, or you when you feel guilty, what we're doing is we're confirming the fact that we're made in the image of God. And then there's the third thing that is socially, as we rule over what God has given us, we are created different because of the way we are meant to have a relationship with the Creator. So first thing, as an implication, as an image bearer, we're created to rule. The second thing is that we're created to have a relationship with the Creator unlike any other parts of creation. You're meant to relate to him in a way nothing else can. That's incredible. It says this in verse 24. It says, then God said, let the earth, so this is the beginning of the sixth day, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so that God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Do you catch the detail that happens there? If you're reading through scripture, as you're reading through and you notice something that's repeated, there's a reason it's there, right? And so what's the thing that's repeated? God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. What is he trying to help us understand? That there's species that are meant to be in relationship with each other, that they cannot be in relationship with other kinds of species because it's the way God designed it in the very beginning. Same thing with people. God has designed a specific design in how we can relate to each other. So in verse 27, God created man in his image. He created them in the image of God. He created them male and female. It is not an accident. God is not a God of confusion. God purposely created you the way that you are. He didn't make an accident. He created you on purpose. He created you for a purpose. And ultimately, the reason he created you is so that you can have a relationship with him. We can have a relationship with each other. And really, the Bible goes on about our relationships with each other, describes a ton. Because God, in the very beginning, designs Adam, designs Eve. He designs them to be in relationship with each other. It is God's design that he formed the first union, the first marriage. That is not our culture. Our culture isn't smarter than the creator. God, as the creator, gets to be the definer of marriage. Doesn't change. It's a truth that's lasting. And you want to have a better marriage in the future. You want to have a better marriage right now. Look to the word. Look to the creator, and he'll tell you how to have one. That's not really the main point of this morning. But as an image bearer, as people, we're meant to be in relationship with each other. Remember, as God creates, he looks at Adam and he says, it is not good for Adam to be alone. So he creates Eve. We're meant to have relationships, be in community with each other. That's important. But our relationships with each other are ultimately to point us to the relationship that we need with him. Look at verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So in what kind are we created? Yeah, we're humans, but whose kind are we created? Who are we meant to be in relationship with? The image of God. We're created. Why? Because we're ultimately meant to be in a relationship with him. That's why the world and our country and people that we interact with all the time, it's why they struggle so much. Because what we're all looking for is for meaning and purpose. That's why I love this verse. Because it explains why you're created. It explains your purpose. You're created to rule, but you're also created to be in a relationship with God, because we all, every single one of us, have a void in our life, and it is huge. And it cannot be filled with anything in creation. It cannot be filled with more success, more money, with a family. People get married thinking that's going to solve all their issues. And then it didn't. And then they think having kids is going to solve all of our issues. And then it doesn't. Creates more issues. But it's fun. And it's a blessing. Try not to dog with my kids. But we try to fill it with success and our career, and it doesn't work because it's not meant to fill that void. Who's meant to fill the void is the one who's created you, because you're longing for purpose, but your purpose is to know him. It's to be in a relationship with him. And as we think through this, I think if you go all the way back even further in Genesis 1. So Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then day one takes place. And in day one, in this time period of six literal days where God creates, day one, he forms light, right? And as he creates, at the end of day one, I love the detail. Here's this repeat that happens after every single day. God looks at his creation and he says it's good. Why is it good? Because it is doing exactly what he's created it to do, what the purpose of it is. It's doing. It literally is doing it. So he says it's good. Then day two happens. And God creates and he forms, and it's out of his voice he speaks, and it is created. And at the end of day two, he looks at all of what he's created and he says, it's good. It's doing exactly what I've created it to do. It's great. It's good. Day three happens. God creates again, forms it, speaks, and it's there. And God, at the end of the day, sits back, looks at all what he's created, and he says, it's good. Day four, and for some reason, I love day four, because he creates the sun, and he creates the moon, and he creates the stars, and he creates the galaxies. I don't know if you've been like in a place where it's just dark, and you look up, and you're just like, wow. And I think like, in God's voice, through his power and his might, he created just by speaking. And at the end of day four, he looks at the stars, the moon, the galaxies, the sun, and he says it's good because it's doing exactly what he created it to do. Day five, he creates the sea creatures, the sharks and the dolphins. He creates Nemo and Dory, and then he creates also all the birds, all different kinds, meant to be in relationship with their kinds. And at the end of the day, he looks at his creation and he says it's good, because it was, because they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Day six happens, and he creates all the land animals, the bears, the lions, the tigers. You know the rest, oh my. And he creates it. And he says it's good. And day six, he continues to create, and he creates Adam. And there's a detail in verse 26. I didn't mention this earlier. Before, when he spoke, day one, two, three, four, five, and even to start day six, as he spoke, it was created. When he turns and he turns to create Adam and he creates Eve, before he creates them, he speaks about them. He speaks about their purpose. Why I'm going to create them different, because they're going to be created in the image of God. They're created to rule. They're created to be in relationship with me. And at the end of day six, when it was all said and done, he looks at his creation and he says, it's good. Because it was doing exactly what he created it to do and be. And Adam and Eve, what we know, the details, if you look through Genesis and the creation account, and as you go through and watch, as they're in the garden, they're walking and they're talking to God. They're in community. They're in relationship with God. It was good. And then you think about it for us, what happened, right? Like, if I describe the world today, I would describe it, and sometimes it looks good. Sometimes there's moments, but a lot of times, man, it's not good. like I look at the tragedy that happens in New Orleans a few weeks ago, or I look at the fires that are going on in California, or I look at wars that are going on other parts of the world, or I look at even in our own lives, the battles that are going on, and it's sometimes really hard to say it's good. Seems pretty bad. So what happened? Well, when God created Adam and he created Eve, he created them, yes, in his image to be in a relationship with him, but he didn't create them as puppets, as, hey, you're forced to love me. You're forced to be in a relationship with me. He gave them a freedom to choose to be in relationship with him or not. So in the garden, they could enjoy the garden as a blessing. Hey, take and rule over this. Subdue it. I want you to enjoy this. But in order to be in a relationship with me, to choose to love me, you have a choice. And so life with me, when you choose me, it will bring you life and it will bring you purpose and meaning because it's you doing exactly what I created you to do. You're living out your purpose. But then this choice that God's giving them is there was this tree. We know the story. The tree that they are not supposed to eat from. And if they ate from it, they would, what? Surely die. It would bring death because it is opposite of what God's plan is. And we know what happens. They choose, rather than serving the God who created them, they choose to try to become gods themselves by eating, taking part of the tree that God said, hey, don't. Even though knowing the consequences of death, they still chose that over the life with Jesus, the Creator. It says this in Romans, chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man's sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. We're all guilty. We've all done what Adam and Eve have done in this story. We've all, rather than wanting a relationship with God, the Creator, we've all chosen to go, hey, I want to live my own way. I don't want to follow you. I'm going to choose to rebel against your plan and say, my way is better. And it leads to death. Separation from God forever. And if you think about it the way maybe I think about this, like we are a created being, created with an amazing purpose to be in a relationship with a God, but we're all flawed because we've all sinned. And so there's this stain in us that is a terminal disease because of sin that's killing us. And you would think, like, if someone was an inventor and they created an invention and it doesn't go the way they planned, they would just scrap it, start over. Hey, we gotta get to plan B, and they're on model 39 now. But God doesn't do that with you and I. He didn't just say, scrap you. I was looking this week as looking at some paintings. I don't really do that very often. And there's this painting by a guy named Vincent van Gogh. And you probably know the painting. It's famous. It's called The Starry Night. And I don't know if you know this detail. I learned this week. Where he painted this at? He painted it in an insane asylum. Okay? Like, when I was in middle school, I took an art class. I'm not good with art, but I took an art class, and I was trying my hardest in the stinking art class. And I submitted this project, and you know what I got out back as a grade? A C minus. I didn't know that was possible. And I thought you automatically, if you just turned it in art, you got an A, but no. She wrote next to the C minus, you need to try harder. And so I had to go awkwardly go, this is me trying harder. I wish I knew that Vincent van Gogh painted this. I didn't even know, probably in seventh grade, I didn't even know this thing existed yet. But I wish I knew he painted this in an insane asylum. That would have been real helpful. Because, hey, if he could paint this in that form, as he's sitting in his room looking out, man, I think I have pretty high hopes. And maybe not, probably not. But you know how much this painting is worth today? $200 to $300 million. You know what? I was reading this article, Vincent van Gogh didn't find this painting to be a masterpiece while he was alive. He didn't consider it a masterpiece. I don't know if that's because he was bored in his room and just like, hey, I don't got anything else to do, so let me just paint this cool little thing. But after his death, it became what we know as one of the greatest paintings in the world. So what gives something value? What brings you value? What makes you valuable? How do you know your worth? It comes down to, like culture might say, like, is it perceived to be useful? Is it beneficial? Is it desirable? But it really comes down to this: what is someone willing to pay for it? How valuable are you? What is your worth? God says you're worth dying for. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while we were at our worst, the ugliest parts of us, he still died for us. He still saw us as valuable, worth purchasing. Even at our worst, like if in our relationships with each other, like when we consider our worst parts, that's when people say, I'm done with you. I don't want a relationship with you. I want to be as far away from you as possible. But God, the creator, goes, you're created in my image. I want a relationship with you. I desire that. And even though you rebelled against me and you are separated from me because of your own sin, I still want to show you how much you mean to me, how much I love you, that I would still die for you, even knowing how messed up and broken we all are. Even if we were the only person on this planet, he would still die for us because he would see us as valuable, as worth paying, purchasing us with his life. He paid the ransom. He demonstrated his love by paying the ransom for us. Because of death, because we've all sinned, we all deserve separation from God forever and ever and ever, for all of eternity. And the only thing that it's either going to be us for all of eternity paying for our sin, or we can take the free gift Jesus is offering to you and to I, that he purchased us, paid the ransom for our life so that we could be in relationship with him and no longer separated from him. But there's a key detail there. How do you choose to have a relationship with God? You have to surrender your life to him. You got to realize where you are broken, and you need to come to a point of going, God, I don't want to follow my way. I want to follow you. I want to surrender my life. I'm admitting to you, I'm a broken. I've sinned against you. I'm asking you to come into my life. Thanks for dying for me. I don't deserve it. For some reason, your word tells me you demonstrated your love towards me, that while I was at my worst, you still loved me so much that you would die for me. And as soon as we would come to that point of surrender, our life changes. Because in that moment, our relationship with the Creator begins. What was the image of God that was broken because of our sin is restored. We get to our old life, we get to put it aside, and we get to put on the new life that God has for us. Where we're born again, we're forgiven. The way Paul describes that new life, it says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness, in the image of God. It's been restored. It's back to the original purpose why you were created, to be not just in rule over creation, but also to be in relationship with Him. And then from that moment, where it's the best decision you can make in your life, where you surrender your life to Him, and in that moment you're promised eternal life with Him. Your perspective of life changes. When you look at others, you look at them through a lens the way God sees them. Or at least we should. That God, even Jesus, tells us, hey, love your enemies and pray for those who do wrong to you. And so all of a sudden, when we have a relationship with the Creator, we look at the lens of how Jesus looks at those who have done Him wrong. And He says, hey, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We look at life as going, we are called to love our neighbor. We're not called who's our neighbor. We're just called to love our neighbor. We're called as a image bearer to rule, to be in relationship with God. But then the third implication is that we would be representatives of God on the earth. We, again, the reflection of what God is like in the world. Paul describes that in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He says, therefore, we, you and I, are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of Jesus. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. God wants to use you, those of us in this room that know Him, have a relationship with Him, to be representatives of Him in the world. To be making an appeal to the world to be reconciled to Jesus. Think about that responsibility. The purpose, the meaning, the job description there as an image bearer. And it all changes, our perspective of that changes because of our relationship with Him. It's not about us. Man, to be first in the kingdom is actually to be last in the kingdom. To be last is actually to be first. Everything flips and our perspective changes, and we want to be a representative of Him. It's our responsibility to go into the world, to fill the earth with what God is like. That we wouldn't just know Him, but we would make Him known. And really, that's our heart as a church, right? That's why we have the four D's. We want to come alongside and be representatives of Jesus to help people in our world discover truth. And that hopefully at some point in that discovery, or they're discovering truth that's found and packed in God's word, that they would realize that God loves them, sees value in them, wants to know them, and that they would surrender their life, decide on Jesus because of what He's done for them. And as a result of that decision, that they would demonstrate change. Because the Holy Spirit is living in them, God's Spirit, He would be working in them. And the fruit of God working in them would be seen and evident. We would be representatives, a reflection of what He is like. But then it also goes on to that we would take on the responsibility as representatives to deploy, to make an appeal to men to be reconciled to God. That's why we do everything we do. It's why we have our campuses. I got on our YouTube channel, and I was going back and listening to some stories of people's lives that were impacted because we said, hey, in 2019, we said we're going to go to Tiffin and launch a campus, and we don't know what fully is going to happen. We're just excited to see what God does. And we now all of us. We get to be a part of that and see how God's used it in the stories and the lives that were changed just because we were trying to be representatives of Jesus. Now, I get to be looking forward to, hey, we get to do the same thing this year again. And it's fun and it's exciting. And what I want to do really quickly, I just want to send an invite to you. If you live in the Sandusky or surrounding area, or you work in Sandusky or the surrounding area, you know people who live there who do not know Jesus, who do not have the relationship with him yet. And so you are called, I'm just going to ask you to consider being a part of that campus so that we can impact that community, the surrounding area. There's 78,000 people in Erie County. Probably 90% of them, maybe even higher than that, do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they are separated from God. So why are we doing something? Why that costs us money? Because we want to represent him. Because we're called to rule, fill, subdue the earth. We're called to be in relationship with him, and we're called to be representatives of him. To not just know him, but to make him known. If you guys would stand with me, let's pray together. God, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to spend time in your word. And Lord, thank you for the reminder of Genesis 1 and 27, that we are created in the image of God. And God, that you are a God that purposely created us with an amazing design and an amazing purpose to rule, yes, but to be in relationship with you despite us, that you would desire to know us. Even knowing our worst, that you would still demonstrate your love towards us, that you would die for us, purchase us. And God, thank you for that. Because of that, because of your sacrifice, and for many in this room that know you and are in relationship with you, Lord, help us to be representatives of what you are like. Help us to point others who are lost to you, God. God, we love you this morning, and we praise you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.